ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to call in your real ghost story. Normally, that's the number to call, but we are live tonight. With our live program that we do every single Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central on Facebook, the Tuesday night call-in line is 216-446-7810. 216-GHOST-10 to share your ghost story with us. If you call in and you you hear us and you're put on hold, just hang on. We will get to you. We're just going to kind of take the calls as they come in, but the phone lines are open. So feel free to dial in and be a part of the program this evening. We would love to hear from you. Our spirit tonight for Spirits with Spirits comes to us from Northern Latitudes Distillery. This is up there in my old land where I was in radio for about a year, 15 years ago. It's the Lake Leelanau area up by Petoskey and Traverse City. They have all sorts of interesting spirits, and the spirits they sent to us tonight. This one, which I'm actually not going to consume on the air tonight because it would go much better with a Bloody Mary, and I don't have the fixins to do so. But up there it gets cold. They like their Bloody Marys. Mm-hmm. And to have a good vodka to go with it, horseradish flavored vodka. And you can see, this is not the light reflecting weirdly. It is the color of horseradish. And I did taste it with a Bloody Mary recently, and it is lovely. So there's that one.
Okay.
To drink it by itself, I guess you really have to be a connoisseur of horseradish. The one that I'm really excited about here tonight is the Michigan Dogman Moonshine that they produce, mm-hmm. and they sent over to us. And the Dogman is really, there's lore of it, goes back all the way to the 1800s. People essentially, they have these stories of being out, in their on their land and their fields, and there's stories of people being attacked by a bunch of dogs and then one walking away on its hind legs. There's ones where they just see this man or this dog-like creature with a dog head and almost a man-like body, almost werewolfy.
Okay.
And then running away. And there's sightings of it, the lore of it, that it happens every 7 years. I was just reading the Wikipedia article on it,
uh-huh.
and it's funny because in 1987, a DJ on a station that was actually in the building I used to work at, I was unaware of this, and he's actually a friend of mine, and I had never heard this story before, came up with like kind of an April Fool's Day joke fun song about the Dog Man,
uh-huh.
became like the most requested song on the radio up there at that point in time, and to this day, he still gets stories, I guess, about the Dog Man. And people's sightings of it. So they have a moonshine, 100 proof, stilled from grain up there. There's a lot of, and it's an interesting thing, you think moonshine, a lot of times you think south. It's just as active up there, out in the woods, in the northern part of, the northern part of the lower peninsula and in the northern part of the state as well.
So. Okay.
Very wooded, very hilly, very similar to the country of almost around here, except a lot more cold and a lot more snowy.
Yeah.
So I'll open that for you. If you would like some of the
yes, shine.
I have some in my glass already over here.
Thank you.
So there you go. I'll put the bottle over by you.
I love
set
moonshine.
That up there. And the Dog Man just fit in really well with
perfect.
The with our show.
Yeah.
So really really interesting story there. So thank you guys for being our spirit this week. We got a caller that's on hold at 626. Hang on there. Our first caller that came in, actually even before we started the show, calls were coming in. So I'm going to jump over there first. A caller at 215. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello. Yes, we are here. What's your name again and where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Robert from Warrington, Pennsylvania.
Okay, Robert, welcome to the program. Let's hear your ghost story.
I always listen to you and Jenny all the time on TuneIn Radio.
Well, thank you.
I don't have a ghost story per se, but because you and Jenny do go out, just like other investigators, I thought I would give you a piece of technical information that might help you.
Okay.
The reason most of the time you can get images, paranormal images, with analog snapshot cameras, or when they use film in cameras, when the ambient light bounces off like an object, mm-hmm. and enters, you know, the lens and imprints the image on the film, that's what makes the image. And a lot of times, if there's a high concentration of energy in the room, say it's from the spirits or paranormal, they can manipulate the chemicals on the film. But if you use digital photography, the energy can't manipulate the CCD cells.
Okay.
So that's why usually it's better to use an analog camera.
Okay.
When you do things like that. I wanted to ask you if you heard of that before, because I did, and I did read up on that. But a lot of people don't know that.
You know, I've heard arguments back and forth. We, the two of us, really don't do investigations. We pretty much sit here in a studio and let other people tell us their stories. But we have gone out to, you know, on some ghost tours and such. I've gone on a couple ghost hunts. But we certainly, you know, I talk to people all the time that are into that and are doing that regularly. But it's an interesting argument to make, because so many folks are using purely digital since the day and age where people are actively ghost hunting to the level at which they are, that was far beyond the years of analog film. But it would be really interesting to see a comparison sometime of a real serious ghost hunter who's out there going to very active locations and using both. And I'd be curious to see what they come up with.
Yeah, because
yeah.
Just what you said, like, even, I mean, a lot of people do take snapshots.
Sure.
Digital.
Yeah.
And as you know, the light enters the lens, it still goes mm-hmm. through, but it, instead of imprinting on film,
sure.
it just imprints on the CCD cell,
yeah.
which chops it up and forms the image and so forth. And when you deal with a chemical reaction, say, on a film,
mm-hmm.
Even if it's an energy from anything, spirits, paranormal, even equipment, the energy more or less will affect the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's not light, it can be energy that affects it.
It's an interesting
way of thinking.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting way of thinking about it. And I wonder if that is true. Thank you for the thought, and thank you for sharing that with us. I'm sure somebody that's listening to this will probably be writing in or calling in with an answer to that and what their findings have been with the amount of people who tune in. Thanks for calling in to the show. We really appreciate the thoughts tonight. Have a great night. All right. The phone number to call in, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, to share your ghost stories live with us. There's a caller at 757. You hang on the line. Next one up is a caller at area code 626. And take the call. There we go. I pressed three times. There we go. You're there. What's your name?
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
Wait, hello? How are you doing?
Good. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Rod.
Okay.
My name's Rod. I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. Do you have a ghost story for us tonight?
Yeah. I can tell you a story that happened to me at a haunted cemetery in Hollywood.
All right.
Called Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Isn't that where Michael Jackson is at?
I'm sorry?
Is that where Michael Jackson is at?
I think maybe, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
There's a lot of stars buried there.
Sure.
That's where they did the Walking Dead stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Walking Dead thing. Okay.
Okay, but actually, my I'm talking to you on a cheesy, cheap phone, so my reception is actually not very good.
Okay, go for it. Tell us your story.
If you can hear me, okay. I went to Hollywood Forever Cemetery in 2005. to attend a film screening where they project films on the sides of mausoleums. And I arrived really early because I was concerned about parking. So I got there when the sun was still up, but it was about to go down. And I wandered around the cemetery looking at things. And as I was wandering, I saw a dark blob-like shadow that was kind of far away, and it was moving, hovering over the tombstones in the west area of the cemetery. And I noticed immediately that it was weird because it was a darker shadow than anything in the area. Like, it was like a solid, basically a solid black, and there were no shadows that dark anywhere else. So I started staring at it, immediately noticing something was wrong or strange. And I immediately saw that it was not a person. It was actually moving over the tombstones, like hovering maybe a foot or so above most of the tombstones. And it wasn't coming in my direction, so I wasn't too worried about it. And I watched it for about a minute and a half, I would say. And it glided slowly over the tombstones and started moving away from me. And as it moved away, it got smaller and smaller as it got, you know, farther away.
Sure.
And eventually it disappeared. It went off far away where I couldn't see it. And I looked for it to see if it was going to come back. But it didn't. And that's basically all I saw. I know that I couldn't explain it, and I was also aware that a lot of people had seen strange things in that cemetery, and Paramount Studios is actually on the other side of a wall on the south side of the cemetery, and people supposedly have seen apparitions walking through the wall into and out of the cemetery from Paramount Studios.
Going back to work.
I didn't.
They're like, they're going.
I guess so. Maybe they're silent film actors, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that. And anyway, the people who were going to screen the film arrived as the sun actually went down. And then everybody watched a Douglas Fairbanks movie projected on the mausoleum that Douglas Fairbanks was interred in. And, well, I don't know. Maybe what I saw was the ghost of Douglas Fairbanks.
I think your odds of it being him are up there. I think really anybody involved in that era of filmmaking and whatnot, you know, could very easily have been there going, I'm going to go watch that film I was involved with all those years ago.
it's possible, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's not a very scary story, I don't think. It's not that creepy. It's just a weird thing that I saw. I mean, I didn't feel afraid. I always thought if I saw something like that, I would be afraid, and it didn't really, it didn't do much for me. It did make me stare at it and try to figure out what it was. It didn't have a shape. It was kind of a blurry black shadow, and it looked not very large, maybe half the size of a person, maybe, and kind of blurry around the edges, and not exactly a solid shape, but somewhat nebulous, blurry around the edges.
It's almost like a shadow person and a orb together.
Yeah, you got a good experience. You got to see a ghost without it being a terrifying experience. So, and I think that's honestly probably a majority of experiences if people have it. I think afterwards it's more so like, what just happened? Is how a lot of it goes. Okay. But thank you for the call and thank you for sharing that with us tonight. Really do appreciate it. The phone number here is 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. 216-GHOST-10. Phone lines are open. There's a caller on hold at 307. Stay there. We're going to get to you in just a minute. Let's jump over to the caller at 757 and hear your ghost story. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Kathy, and I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
All right, Kathy.
My story is I do pet sitting and house sitting just to bring in some extra money.
Sure.
And at Thanksgiving, I had a new client, and they were in an upper-class neighborhood. It was an older couple. The houses weren't all that old. They were only about 40 years old. And I met them briefly before they left, and they were very nice. They told me which room to stay in. It looked like a five-bedroom house. So the first night, everything went smoothly. Nothing happened. The second night, actually, it was Thanksgiving morning. I was the alarm went off. I was laying on my stomach. I turned it off, and I was just thinking about all the things I needed to do that day since it's Thanksgiving. And I felt something sitting on the bed, and I felt the covers kind of come down on me, like someone was pulling the covers down slowly. And first I thought it was the cat, but then I remembered the door was closed and the cat was downstairs in the laundry room. So I turned over and everything stopped. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it was just the weight of the quilt that was just kind of falling down when I moved to turn off the alarm. So then I turned back over, you know, I was back on my stomach, and I was again just thinking about stuff. And all of a sudden, all the covers were yanked very hard, completely off me. And that totally freaked me out. Then I decided it was time to get up. So when the couple came back, we were just talking, and then they were telling me that I was staying in their daughter's room. Their daughter had died when she was 34, and that was like just several years before. So I think she just didn't like me being in her room.
Yeah, I could see that. Not knowing who's in her old bed, obviously, is, yeah, I could see that.
It makes you wonder, like, how cognizant are the ghosts of the house that they haunt? You know, is it where it's almost like grogginess, like perpetual grogginess, like when you wake up, you're like, what's going on around you? And you're only kind of picking up bits and pieces of why there's someone in there in that room.
Yeah.
Or are you fully aware and you just don't like it and you're just doing this to do that? I think sometimes it almost feels like it is a grogginess and there's just confusion and they don't know. They're just, it's almost like self-defense to a certain extent of, you know,
sure.
Why is there someone in my room? Why am I stuck here? It's just that weird perpetual state.
Yeah.
That almost feels like a dream state. Thank you for sharing the story with us. I really do appreciate that tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Have a great night. The phone number is 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost story with us. And there was something I was going to interject between callers, and I don't remember what it was.
Your drink's getting...
Oh, no, I know what it was. I've only had the one here.
Uh-huh.
I have. I know what it was. I was going to ask our listeners who are watching us on Facebook Live right now, please do press share on the show as we're doing this live. That really helps us get out there, other people to find us while we are doing this live, because Facebook will only push it out to so many people that it feels like wants to see it, and then it starts pushing it out more and more after the fact. But since this is a live show, and people who want to interact with us, who already like the show, would help them actually find us in their feed. So if you don't mind and you like our program, press share on it right now if you're watching us live, so other folks may find us as we do this thing. The phone number again, 216-446-7810. There's a caller at 502 on hold. You hang on. We're going to get to you right after we do a call from area code 307. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Gillette, Wyoming. That's where I'm from. My name's Chris. How you doing?
Hey, good. Hi. Chris. Thanks for calling in tonight. You got a ghost story for us?
Oh, yeah. Big fan. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a small town over in South Dakota called Deadwood.
Yep.
Have you guys heard of that place?
Yes. Yes.
Well, one night, me and my buddies were out drinking and partying and gambling all our hard-earned money away from the coal mines up here, and we got comped a room there at the Silverado, and this was a really strange room. We walked in, and it had two pianos in it and two conjoined rooms with no door between them. One of the rooms just had a bed and a TV and one of the pianos, and my room had a piano also, a TV, but mine also had the bedroom in it. So my buddy, he was drunk, and he just went in and passed out, and I went and laid in my bed, and I'm laying there, and I'm watching the light above my bed was hanging by, like, it wasn't, it was like a bulb on a wire. Does that make sense? Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Really old construction, bulb on a wire, and I'm sitting there watching it, and I wasn't as drunk as it makes it sound. I was sitting there watching, and it started swaying from side to side, not in a motion it would be fluid, but where it would go to one side and stop at the apex and swing all the way to the other side and stop at the apex. Did that three times, and it stopped at the bottom of the apex like nothing was going on. It was weird. I was watching that, and I just said out loud, I said, because I've had a few paranormal experiences in my life, I just said out loud, listen, I don't have time for your crap tonight. Just leave us alone. And then on the way out, you know, when somebody runs their finger down a piano, mm-hmm. it made, you know, two or three piano keys went off as whatever it was made it sound like it was leaving towards the door. It was really weird.
Wow. To have the piano. So why did they comp the room? Let me ask you that first.
We had spent a lot of money in that place.
Okay.
So apparently, if you lose enough money, they give you a room.
A haunted hotel room. And then they hope that by staying in that room, it will scare you out and you'll go back to the casino.
Right. Yes, they have a lot of, you know, there's the Bullock Hotel there. Ghost tours through there.
Sure.
But that I never heard of anything in the Franklin. The Franklin's the one on top of the hill, mm-hmm. one of the nicer hotels. Haven't heard anything about the Franklin being haunted. But, you know, that's yeah. where Wild Bill Hickok got shot. It's a really nice place.
I think any place in a town like that with such a storied history, I don't think sometimes it even matters so much about the history of the hotel itself. I mean, I'm saying, like, if, for example, one of those hotels, let's say it wasn't on the register of historic places and they knocked it down, mm-hmm. and then a Best Western went up.
Right.
You know, just a brand new right. Best Western. I would imagine the Best Western would then be haunted. I think it's more so about
proximity.
The proximity, the land, what happened over those spaces of land as to what you're going to experience there. No matter how many remodels, no matter how many this or that's, what happened, happened, and sometimes it happens again.
Right. We also, if I got another 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Sure.
Here in Gillette, Wyoming, we've got a bar called the Center Bar, and it's the oldest bar in town, and that place is notoriously haunted. There's books and stuff about it in town. That, and there's underground tunnels that would hook it to some of the hotels that would go under Main Street mm-hmm. during like the 30s and stuff.
Prohibition type tunnels.
You know, they would have girls of the night going under the street so you didn't be seen with them, you know, out in public.
Sure. But
yeah, the Center Bar, that place is really active, actually.
Have you ever had an experience there?
Yeah, one night I was helping close up, and I guess there's this little bin that they put some of the tip money in, and that flew out onto the ground. The manager's always saying, they say weird stuff in the security cams and stuff, and yeah, there's a lot of evidence, if you will, sure. that they've caught.
It sounds like a very haunted area. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing that story with us tonight. We really do appreciate it.
Hey, you guys have a good time. Good listening to you guys.
All right, you take
thank
care.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. The phone number, again, 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. I saw a lot of you guys press the share button during that call. Thank you so much for that. If you're just joining us, share it again, if you don't mind. And you can see our listeners, it spikes up when they do
yeah.
that. So that tremendously helps a lot of folks find our show. As you are aware, probably, Facebook algorithms, they tend to change all the time. your participation helps, and also your sharing helps tremendously in letting other folks who already have liked our show get the content as we do it live, so they're not finding it 3 hours from now when they're trying to fall asleep going, I wish I would have remembered. You doing that helps our community find the program tonight. I try to let everybody know in advance as much as I can, but, you know, you can only do so much. There's a caller at 256 on hold. You hang on. Let's go to the caller that called in a little bit before that at area code 502. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Jax from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, Jax. Hi. Welcome to the show tonight. You got a ghost story for us?
I do. All right. This is about my, I sleep in a haunted bedroom, and, I'm writing in more in depth, but I have one experience that I wanted to share tonight.
Okay, let's hear it.
This happened about a week ago, actually. I was trying to sleep, and, usually I get woken up around the middle of the night with some kind of disturbance, but this time it was a lot different than what it usually is. I woke up to an actual sound, and I know that sometimes like a sound will happen when you're in that half asleep state and wake you up, and it's just your mind playing tricks on you. But this was like the sound of like awful demonic laughter that kept going on even after I had fully woken up and sat up in my bed.
That's well beyond the exploding head syndrome, correct? Yeah. Because I get the bang thing all the time where I'm thinking I'm hearing something fall or crash, but I've never had the demonic laughter.
No.
Yeah, and by that point, I'm pretty much used to having experiences in my room, but this time I woke up and I was terrified. Like, I was frozen in place, shaking violently, and I don't know, I told it to stop like 3 times before it finally did. Mm-hmm. But then once I had turned on my light, once I felt okay to move again, I actually caught a glimpse of a face in my closet before it disappeared, and I flipped on the couch.
I don't blame you. Is there a history of this sort of thing going on in your home? Or when you said this happened last week or a couple weeks ago, was that one of the first experiences of it, or the first experience of it?
No, actually, this has been going on since I was little.
Okay.
And since I switched bedrooms and moved in here, it's been happening a lot.
Hmm.
And I'm actually going to write in more in depth just because things keep happening, so the email just keeps getting longer, so I haven't seen it yet.
Let me ask you this, and I don't expect that I'm going to come up with why it's happening, but I'm just trying to narrow in on some ideas. You said it's been happening to you since you were little. Is it, like, consistent, like, all the time, like once a week, once a month, or does it seem to kind of just happen in spurts and then kind of go away and then happen in spurts again?
It kind of happens in spurts, but there was a huge gap in time for when it didn't happen, and that's mm-hmm. because I avoided this bedroom like the plague
okay.
for most of my childhood.
Let me ask you about things that are going on in your life. You don't have to give any sort of details, but just answer the question of when you notice that these things have been occurring and you've been hearing this laughter and hearing these, you know, that sound and that experience, is it happening at any sort of particularly stressful times, distressing times, you know, things where, anxiety may be higher, just things that, you know, stand out in life where it's not just run-of-the-mill normal?
Well, actually, no. It just sort of, it doesn't matter whether I'm stressed or sick or comfortable. It just sort of happens when it happens. And
okay. When
it does, I just sort of bail out of my room for a few days.
Damn, I thought I was going to be onto something.
No, I think it's just that room. It's, it's very territorial. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing that. Do continue to document it, and please do send in and let us and share what your realizations are in it and what happens with it, and feel free to call in again and keep us updated.
Absolutely. absolutely will. Thank you so much for taking my call.
All right. Thank you. Have a great night. Our phone number, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, to share your real ghost stories with us. Are you enjoying the shine?
It's gone.
Do you want some more shine?
I better wait.
You can take a break on the shine?
Take a break. Wait.
The dog man is calling you.
Yeah.
He's right there. He's looking.
I know. I'm going to be okay for right now.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah. I'm
positive? Good. Okay. 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to call in and share the story with us. Let's go to a caller at area code 256. Hello, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, gang. My name's Melanie. I'm calling from Alabama.
Hey, Melanie.
Around Huntsville area.
Oh, great. Welcome to the show. You got a ghost story for us tonight?
I've got a few, but I'm going to share with you the first one that I ever really experienced.
Okay, great.
So when I was about 4 or 5, we moved into this house, and it's in this rural area, old farmhouse. And I remember telling my mom that I didn't want to go to sleep at night, and she's like, "Oh, you know, whatever." So every single night almost, I would hear the sound of feet dragging across the carpet at the foot of my bed. And I would look and I wouldn't see anything, so I'd scream for my parents. So my dad, who worked a second shift job, was thinking that he would put like a CD player in my room, or it was actually a record player, it's the early 90s. And the dial would move on it. It got to be so bad that I'd be waking up almost every night. And I remember one time waking up and my dad let me get up with him. And my bedroom was kind of right off of this den. We had this huge den, this built-in bookshelf, and I'm standing by him. And I see this man walking towards us, and I'm frantic. I'm probably at this point 6 or 7. And he didn't see him. Well, so my mom was telling my aunts and uncles and things about this, and I had a cousin spend the night. And she called her parents in the middle of the night because she heard feet dragging across the floor. So we lived there probably about 10 years. And flash forward, my mom tells me after we had moved out, she had spoken to our landlord, the people who we rented the home from, and asked them kind of about the house's history. And they said, you know, no one had died in that house, but in front of it, there used to be another house. And it was, you know, gas heated. The wife was cooking dinner. The farmer came in and he was trying to light a pipe or something. Anyway, they perished in a fire. And she also told me years later that I had woken her up one night. It was just her and my sister and brother, and she put me in the bed with her, and the bed started shaking, and she's like, "Stop," and it did. But so ton of experiences in that house, and just really in general. But
so those are some of your first experiences you said that you had as a child in that house.
Yeah, and I think, because my parents were telling me that at first they were like, "Oh, you just had a bad dream, or it's your imagination." I was just so headstrong.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe I've been more open to other things that have happened to me. Cause, I don't like saying I'm sensitive, but I'm definitely a magnet for the paranormal.
Okay.
And if people don't believe it, usually after being around me for a little bit, things happen and they do.
I wonder if that increases your odds of being a magnet for the paranormal if, as a child, you grow up in a haunted house, or you grow up in a situation where you're exposed to that on a regular basis. If that kind of hones that skill, or if it just opens up a pathway for this easier.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. I mean, because it made me interested in kind of the occult and paranormal. I don't dabble, but I like hearing other stories. That's how I found your show.
Sure.
Love it, by the way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same with us. We don't dabble in it, but we love to hear the stories of it, really.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us tonight. I'd love to hear more of your stories, so be sure to call in maybe next Tuesday night with another one.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, guys.
All right, great. You have a good night. Phone number 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. There is a caller at 518 on hold and a caller at 262 on hold. Both you guys hang on. We'll be getting to you guys next. Right now we got a caller at 415. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Sandy Avila. I'm calling from the San Francisco Bay Area.
All right, Sandy, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, I am so happy to talk to you guys. I've been wanting to call and let you know about this ghost that appears at my place of work. I work for the animal shelter
Okay.
in San Francisco. And, there's this story about this young lady that stole the euthanasia solution in 1989, and she euthanized her animals, and she killed herself because she suffered from depression. So several people have said that she appears there at night. Her name was Lisa. And honestly, sometimes when I work there in the late shift, I sort of feel like I'm going to see her, you know, like you just get this really eerie feeling. And then it's a very sad place as is, but I think that she kind of comes back and takes a look and makes sure that the animals are doing okay and, you know, kind of like hangs out around there. So that's the story.
I would imagine, there would have to be, and I do not envy anyone with that job.
No.
You know, and there would just be a horrible thing that you'd have to go through, and I could imagine it being very taxing. The thing is, you know, I think some people may look down on someone who has that job, but that's probably someone who loves animals, you know, tremendously, and they're trying to do, you know, with what is best at that moment in time.
And I'm sure that didn't help with her condition anyway.
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah. That would be a very taxing job. But I'm not surprised that she's back there, probably trying to do what she loves, and that is to take care of the animals and help them find homes. Thank you for sharing that story, and thank you for listening to our show. Really appreciate it.
Yes, I love the show. I really love it, and I actually listen to it while I'm there.
I hope the animals like it too, because we have a lot of animal stories.
Yeah. Well, I love you guys, and I hope you have a really nice time doing this show. And I talk to you guys soon when I have another story.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you for calling in.
Bye.
All right, 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number, 216-GHOST-10. We got a caller at 262 calling in. You hang on. And a caller at 231, my old area code. Please hang on, too, because that's northern Michigan, or the northern part of the lower peninsula of Michigan. Hang on, because I'd love to hear your story, too. Let's first go to the caller that was on hold first. Caller at 518. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from? Are you there? Hello. And we'll drop that. Okay. Caller at 262. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Cassie and I'm calling from Milwaukee.
Hey, Cassie. Welcome to the program. You got a ghost story for us?
I do. So I'll share one of my most recent ones. I was going to school in Milwaukee. I was living in the dorms. And how the dorms work is my dorm room shared a wall with the suite next to me. It was getting towards the end of the semester, staying up late, your schedule is all weird, studying, and I would start to hear voices talking next door, which isn't abnormal. There's a lot of things going on. But as the nights continued, you're staying up late, studying, all of a sudden it would sound like pebbles were falling through the wall. And then one night, I actually woke up. It sounded like a vacuum had turned on and was slamming against the baseboard. And it was happening so consistently that eventually I went to my RA, and I said, hey, you know what? I don't mind them cleaning, but would you be able to talk to them and see if maybe they could do it at not 3 a.m.? She wanted to confirm that I had the right room, and it turned out that everyone in that dorm had moved out a couple months prior, because there was a gentleman that had overdosed and had passed away in the dorm. So she told me, you know, the next time you hear it, let me know right away. A couple nights later, I looked over, you could see the window and the light was turning on and off. So I let her know, they went in there, no one was in there. And then there was one night that I was in my dorm room and it sounded almost like a sumo wrestler had come and like slammed against the wall to the point where the cords that I had hanging in my closet were swaying back and forth. And so at that point, I was like, I'm out. I moved into one of my friend's dorms and stayed there for the rest of the time and tried to go back there never during the nighttime.
Oh, wow.
I don't blame you.
No.
You know, I never lived in a dorm. I have a lot of friends who did that. But I would visit, you know, kids in dorms back when we were of that age.
Sure.
And I don't know what was more unsettling to me, just the idea of being in that confined of a space. And I'm not really claustrophobic. I was an only child my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, so I never had to like share a room with anybody. Mm-hmm. So it was probably more of a shocking concept to me than people who had siblings. But I just was like, I couldn't do this. I couldn't. And I still don't think I could, even looking back. I mean, I don't know if I was more unsettled by the idea of that or just, I mean, because there was, I think the main dorms I visited were at UW Oshkosh. Because I grew up there in Wisconsin, in Fond du Lac. And they had, you know, the big tower buildings and all that. And I just found those, there was nothing like old or gothic or anything about them, but I just found them unsettling. I don't know. I don't know if there's more to it or what, but we do get a lot of haunted dorm stories.
Right.
So. Yeah, no, I was shocked. But thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys. I love listening to your show. And I hope you have a great night.
Thank you. Thanks. You too. Thank you for calling in. The phone number here is 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us. And I see I actually have an old radio friend who's listening right now. And I said, do you have any old radio station ghost stories? From my first station.
Uh-huh.
And I use like the private chat option during this, and I've never used it on here. I haven't heard back. But if you do, Nick, do call in. I'd love to hear. And it's always fun to talk about some of the ghost stories from back at Radio Land. Okay, caller at 231. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Molly. I'm in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area.
Okay, great. Cool. What's your ghost story for us?
Well, first off, I think you know my sister, Stacy, in the Kansas City area, and she is making me call in tonight.
Okay.
Finally. She's begged me to call in about this story forever. So
okay.
I'm going to do it.
All right.
This happened in 2008. I was visiting my brother in Montana. They were in a rental home, fairly new house, two-story. And I was sleeping upstairs that night. Nobody else was upstairs. And laid in bed for a while with the light on, went to sleep. And pretty much immediately after shutting the light off, I was laying there and all of a sudden, I got this, like, it sounded like a radio frequency, kind of like, white noise in my ear. And then I couldn't move. It was just paralysis. And I felt this, kind of like, the only way I can describe it is one of those vibrating chairs that if it goes from, like, your toes to your shoulders, like, up and down in a wave through my whole body. Just crazy, crazy feeling. And I couldn't move. I had no, like, in the moment, you know, thinking back, I had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the foot of the bed, I saw a man. It was just kind of like a very bright outline of a man. And I heard in my ear, just in my ear, it wasn't like a voice in the room. It was right in my ear. After that weird kind of radio frequency, I was trying to talk and I couldn't talk, and I said, "Who are you?" in my mind, but I couldn't say it because I was frozen. And in my ear, I heard, "Well, I was just up here, so," and that, I mean, it was totally crazy.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I tried to say more, and I couldn't. Needless to say, the light went on. I could not sleep that entire night. But I didn't want to wake my brother. In the morning, he and his wife, they had a new baby, by the way, which then I found out after talking to them, they were like, oh, yeah, there's been some weird stuff going on. We don't even want, our baby to sleep upstairs in his room at night, so he sleeps with us. I'm like, wow, this would have been great information to have.
Yeah.
Debating between your house or the La Quinta, I'm not quite sure which would have been the better choice. Yeah.
No, well, yeah. Seriously, the next night I stayed in the hotel the next night.
There you go.
Yeah.
No way.
no way. But I did come back the following night, and I demanded that their dog stay in the room with me. And I swear, like, he stared at the door for, like, an hour. I couldn't fall asleep. He just laid there and stared at the door. And that was not, not very comforting.
No.
You know, I have to say, your description of the paralysis that you experienced is the closest I've ever heard to the way I've experienced it. And yeah, I mean, of all the calls we've ever taken on the subject, you had the best description there. It was because I described it as like it felt like a cloud moved through my body is the way I described it. But you're exactly right with that description of being like in the massage chair and where it just kind of shakes your whole body and rattles you.
Right.
That's exactly what it was. I mean, it's that weird feeling. So, thank you for that. Yeah. I'm gonna use that analogy in the future.
For sure. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you for calling in. The phone number here is 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10. The phone lines are open for the first time tonight.
Yeah.
If you'd like to share your ghost story with us. And I just saw I got a message back from my friend Nick. Let's see here. I don't know if he's still if you're still listening, Nick, try calling in. I'd love to hear your voice sharing the story. But he said, creepy times. I remember walking or working late at night. When the studio speakers got turned up, when nobody else was around, miss those days. that's kind of how I think a lot of us felt about it. I remember that too, where like you'd go in there. I remember many times you'd go be the first person at the station and the speakers were just cranked. And I had another station where that happened at as well. The last station at KFDI in Wichita, where I was in, it would do it by itself. You could watch it happen in the studio.
You've never told me that.
I haven't?
You've never told me that.
Oh, as our friend Carol's going to be joining us here on an episode in the coming week or so. We'll talk about it after we go to this call.
Okay.
But yeah, that happened. I'm not making it up. She will verify this. In fact, anyone who's ever worked there probably in the last 20 years will verify this. Call her at 615. Hi, what's your story? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Edward. I'm calling from the Nashville area.
Okay.
I have a friend who's a big fan of this show, and I know he's probably listening right now, so I thought I'd call and tell you a story. I'm an Anglican priest.
Okay.
And he had a friend of mine, Matthew, had someone who he knew through an aunt that had a child that was having issues in the bedroom. And it was a situation where there was toys turning on by themselves at night and just a uncomfortable feeling in the child's bedroom. So what we decided to do was go down and help her out and do a cleansing. And my friend Matthew, he is a medium, has psychic abilities. So we went down. We went into the house. He sensed a female, an older female, like a grandmother. And we kept going through the house. As you went through the hallway, it got a very, very heavy feeling to it. And as we continued into the back bedroom, it was just really, really uncomfortable. And so, you know, I used holy water. I did prayers. He burned sage. We went through the whole house, you know, trying to clear it out. The funny thing is before we started doing that, we had sat down at the dining room table and we're talking to the owners of the property, and you could feel like a darkness come into the room. The room looked physically darker. There was something that you could feel just step into the kitchen. And we could actually hear things moving inside of the kitchen cabinets on their own. You know, it's like somebody sliding plates around, you know, shuffling things inside of the cabinets, like shaking and just a little bit of odd noise, enough to kind of put you on edge. It wasn't anything flying out, thankfully.
Sure.
But we went through and we did the whole cleansing. He put a black salt line around the property. And eventually, things returned to normal. It took a while, but eventually the small boy, I think he was maybe 3 or 4, would go back to sleeping in his room because he'd been sleeping with his parents for a long time. A couple of times since that has happened, I haven't done any more. I've actually had cases where something has kept me from being able to move. You know, some people call it sleep paralysis. But I've had a couple of instances where I woke up, I realized I couldn't move. I had a hard time opening my eyes. I couldn't speak. As I kept trying to say Jesus, eventually I got the word out. As soon as I could say Jesus, then I could say more words. Then I would say the prayer to Saint Michael. And that actually released me from whatever was trapping me. And on both of those occasions, I saw a black figure at the foot of my bed. And so that's why I'm kind of leery of doing anything like that, just because of that one experience.
Sure.
I haven't made any attempts to do any other cleansings.
And I don't blame you, quite honestly.
No, I don't either.
I mean, that's one of those things where, you know, it's almost, you know, to a certain extent, it's like with the role that you have of being a priest and such, you know, people are going to go to you and ask for your assistance in these things. Not every, you know, priest necessarily has to say that I'm specializing in this area,
right,
either.
Right.
I mean, that can,
right,
very much be a choice. But, you know, I applaud you for going in and trying to do your best in that situation. And I also, I don't fault you at all for saying, you know, maybe this is beyond my abilities. You know, I mean, that can certainly be the case in some of these situations.
Yeah.
You know, with what's out there, and how strong some of these things can be.
One of the best things I heard was a Catholic priest told me, who was an exorcist, told me one time. He said, "Once you open the door, it's hard to shut it."
Sure.
And he's retired now, but he had done some exorcisms, and he said that he compared it to being in a pitch black room and flicking a lighter. Mm-hmm. And anything evil that can see that light will come for you.
Yeah.
Because he was attacked, you know, had attacks on him years after some of those exorcisms he performed. So it can definitely be dangerous.
Sure. It can, and you're putting yourself out there to try and help people. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I really do appreciate it. Your friend noticed that you called in. Is your friend Houston? Because I saw a note on Facebook saying,
yes,
I can't believe my friend's calling in. I'm listening downstairs right now. So,
yeah, it is.
There you go.
Good.
Well, did you find it because he shared the show tonight? Is that how you discovered that we exist?
Well, he is always listening.
Okay.
To your podcast, and he,
sure,
has a $5 membership.
Yeah.
And so he's always listening to it. So sometimes when we go places, he'll have it on.
I see. Okay.
So I've gotten used to kind of listening to it. I enjoyed it. I figured you'd get a kick out of that story.
I certainly did.
I'm sorry about our bad language now that I know that you're listening.
Forgive her. Forgive her. All right. You have a great night. Thank you so much for calling in.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. I know the name of our next caller without even screening the call. Nick, hi. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
I am doing well. It's been a very long time since we've last talked. Probably damn near 15, 20 years.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been that long. It should be. We got to work something out where it doesn't.
You didn't come to my Christmas party thing that I put together this year. You got to come sometime.
Know, next year we need to do that. Absolutely.
Yes,
we're gonna make this an annual event. So next year for sure I will come.
I would love to.
I had a family gathering that night.
Oh, family! I'm kidding.
Yes, family.
Well, Nick, thank you for calling in. I think the last time we spoke, I think you were just getting married, and that's how long ago it's been. I was still like 18 or 19 years old. So, but we both...
Were you that old? I thought you were still 16.
I might have... Well, yeah, you're probably right, because, yeah, you're probably... It was probably like 17. You're at... Yeah, you are right.
I've known... we've worked together since, you were about 16 and I was about 17 or 18.
Yes. Yeah. We were teenagers back in Fond du Lac at our first station. And we grew up in radio at a haunted radio station. And our listeners are probably somewhat familiar with it because I've talked about it a gazillion times. We've had a lot of experiences there. And, you know, you're someone who I we've kind of lost touch over the years. So I don't really know. I know Todd's experiences there. You know, we still keep in touch, you know, here and there. But we've never, like, as, you know, grown-ups, revisited on those years there. So I don't even really remember or recount, you know, what were some of your experiences at that radio station where we spent our teenage years? What were some of the ones that stood out the most to you?
Yeah, what I mentioned before, the biggest one for me was working. We used to work late nights all the time, whether it was severe weather coverage or we'd be there bright and early in the morning doing a morning show. And I remember at one point in time not being in the studio, being in a production studio, and then all of a sudden hearing the radio station blaring really loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked down the hallway. Nobody was there. Previously, I was in the studio, and the speakers were turned down, and all of a sudden the speakers were turned up.
Yeah.
So that was just one of just a couple of instances. And majority of the time, it happened late at night.
Yes.
And you worked a night show. I worked a night show. We did mornings.
Mm-hmm.
There were many times where we were there just by ourselves.
Do you remember one of the things that stands out to me as being weird, the phone lines? And I'm talking not the studio phones, but the office phone that you could see with the, like, 30 lines on it. I remember being in there late at night, whether it was an air shift or a basketball game or something, and suddenly it'd be like 11 o'clock at night, and the lines would go solid, as if someone, you know, during the day that happened, because salespeople were on all of those lines. But we were like the only ones in the building, and all of a sudden, like, all these lines are solid throughout the building, and it wasn't like 30 people are checking their voicemail at 11:30 at night.
No.
It was so weird.
Right.
Do you recall that?
Well, there was, I remember an instance where one of the lines, it looked as though somebody was on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see when it was lit up,
you
thought somebody was on the line, but again, it was late at night,
mm-hmm.
and nobody was around to even be on that line on one of the sales lines. So I remember one of the instances just like that.
I can recall, because sometimes I'd even, like, walk out into the sales pit area just to go see, is somebody here? Like, why is this line lit up? Like, somebody's on it, and there's nobody there, and you can't explain why it's doing that.
There's nobody there.
Yeah. So many weird things in that.
The crazy times.
It was. It was fun times, though. There's some of my most fun memories of radio. Well, Nick, thank you for calling in tonight. Yeah, I completely agree.
Let's stay in touch.
Definitely. Let's stay in touch, and we'll hopefully get together one of these times we're back up there.
All right. Great show, you guys.
All right. Thank you, Nick. You take care.
Yep.
So my story on the volume, I never had what Nick had happen to him at that station with the volume.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I've had obviously many things in that building. But at the last station I worked at in Wichita, KFDI, we would have it happen in the studio where you'd just be sitting there and I'd be working on editing something on the computer over here, and your studio computer, your one that's playing the music and all that, and your boards in front of you right here, and your volume knob for turning your headphone and all that stuff, way over there.
Okay.
So it's not like my elbow could hit it, because I'm talking, it'd be like literally where Jenny's other elbow is. That's how far away it would be with the board. So I'd be like over here looking at where this monitor is, editing a phone call, and all of a sudden, the volume just turns up in the studio, just to like full blast.
Uh-huh.
And you gotta turn it back down.
Wow.
And it would do it, and you'd be right there when this would happen. This happened in multiple studios. It wasn't just one. Because at first, the first time it happened, people were like, oh, it's the ghosts. And I can honestly say I never felt odd in that building. I never felt anything paranormal. That's like probably the most paranormal thing that ever happened to me.
Okay.
Personally in that building. Other people have seen things. They've heard things. Sensitive people feel things.
Yeah.
I didn't. I felt very at home and comfortable. And I honestly think whatever is there is probably a very happy spirit. It's the people who probably started the station.
Yeah.
Old, yeah.
Do we say his name?
Old Mike.
And, I'm sure it's Old Mike.
And there, and people have actually said, I see this man in his, what he would wear.
He was so known throughout the whole community. Because, I mean, I lived in Wichita so much longer than you did, as being, you know, such a great, laid back, happy guy. I could see him coming in and screwing with all the DJs.
Sure.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, and it makes sense to me. But that was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me in that building, was the volume turning up by itself. And I don't know why I never put more weight on it, but I guess maybe it just, to me, it was like, well, it's another thing. But I thought it was a glitch in the board, meaning it's a digital board. Analog boards you have a little more issue with. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about Nick's call is that was an analog board. Uh-huh. Meaning that just doesn't happen. It can't be a digital glitch. There's no way that can happen.
Yeah.
With this, it was a digital board. And I thought, well, maybe it's just the board. However, we got a new board and our new studio that we moved down the hall for, and it still kept happening.
Was your studio 104 before it was KFDI? When you moved rooms?
Was this, what do you mean 104?
The Fox. Was that
where? Oh, the room? No. No, it was, we moved the AM, we moved from the AM to the FM. The AM and FM switched.
Okay.
So AM 1070, 1170?
No, 1070.
Okay, the ranch moved to where the FM was, and the FM 101.3 moved down to the new
one. Okay. Okay.
We just flipped areas. But we never had, we kept having weird stuff happen no matter what. Why do you ask?
Because I'll tell you later.
Nothing creepy enough to share for the show, or?
No,
okay.
No.
Okay, no. But no, that's, it was just very weird. And no matter what, it would still happen. But again, my friend Carol, I think was she on an episode ever a long time ago? Did she come into the show?
I don't think so.
I know we've talked about this for like
years. We had Ian, but we haven't. Years. I don't think we've had Carol.
Okay. She's got good ghost stories, and she's going to be visiting here in the coming week or two, and she'll probably join us for an episode, we can talk about some of these things in the coming weeks. So it'll be fun. So I think that'll probably wrap up our live episode for the evening. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys from everywhere where you've been tuning in from. We greatly appreciate it. We could not do this thing without you guys. I love doing the live show. It's fun.
I do too. I love it when we have enough live calls to fill the whole show.
Yeah, now that it's kind of been like appointments are being made. I'm seeing people saying like, I'm setting my alarm for every Tuesday at 8 o'clock to listen in. So think of that too. I mean, it's so easy. I mean, especially with your phone, just, you know, press the button, say, and I don't want to say it out loud because it's going to trigger everything over on the side of the room that has it on it. You know, set the alarm for Tuesdays at 8 o'clock Central to join into the program, because this is where we do it live every single Tuesday. So if you didn't call in tonight, call in next week with your ghost story. We would absolutely love to hear it. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you guys for listening to and watching another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.